Webster's defines atypical as not like the usual normal type. Well, welcome to the Atypical Podcast from theatypicallife.com. I am Matt Mooney.
And I'm Jenny Mooney. Here, we take a look at all kinds of things.
We may tell stories, we call them side stories, welcome a friend to join us, or interview someone more widely known and ask them all kinds of questions. And sometimes, yes, sometimes we may just do a little Matt chat, discussing the current happenings of our life.
Through all of it, we hope to give you something atypical as you listen along your typical day.
A good college friend of mine, Carrie Dean, now Carrie Murphy, as she got married, kept a blog recently, Jenny, and we thought this blog was funny. And the name of the blog was, I've Got a List for That. And so the entire blog, every post is a different list. And here's an example of one. And there's all sorts of examples. This one is entitled, If You Are a Sick Kid at My House. Number one, you get to eat whatever you want. You really can. Today, Winnie has only chosen smoothies and cinnamon crunch cereal. Number two, you get to watch Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry all morning. Number three, I make you a little pallet on the sofa and bring you books. Number four, I will play as many games of Go Fish and War that you want. Number five, you fall asleep and I carry you to my bed for a nap. Six, I let you take a bath and fill the water up all the way to your neck and put a little Epsom salt in it. Number seven, you get a lot of back scratches and leg rubs, and I might pat your back until you fall asleep. Number eight, with an exclamation point, mind you, pajamas all day. Number nine, you can eat your lunch on the sofa. This gives you just kind of an example of the list. I've got a few other ones.
So good. It was genius. Like, does she still keep it up or no? I don't think she does. But when she did, what was so genius about it is that it was this time when there were blogs everywhere, but this one was so, like, not wordy. It was succinct. I mean, it was, like, literally. But then there was super creativity in that, too, right? Because she's saying so much by just doing this list. That was it. I've got a list for that. There's not, like, lots of it's literally, like, the blog title is what the list is. Our, one through whatever.
Our teacher's Christmas gifts. The kids' fun bags for the plane ride. What I've been eating a lot of lately. And my favorite one of the list here that I see, and they keep going, so I'm not looking at all of them. What's in my wrap? Number one, whole wheat tortilla shell. She's kind of a healthy veganer or something. Yeah. I don't know. We love her, but we don't understand what she eats. Number two, Dijon mustard. Number three, baby spinach, kale. You get the idea. She's eating healthier than you. But that's the entire post. It was an entire list. And so today, yesterday, we thought on the Matt chat, we would have a little theme. And our theme, Jenny, Virginia,
yes,
if you will, and I will, is lists. So we are going to just beat this theme into the ground as hard as we can. But there were two things. I was thinking of a list. And the reality of a list is I do like a list. I think most people like a list. And particularly, we like checking things off of a list. Because in some ways, a list, they seem to take these big, overwhelming things and they make little bite-sized pieces of it. So you think, okay, I can do this little thing. And if I do this little thing, I got a little bit more of the whole. And so, in fact, another thing that made me think of it is, Jenny, and here we go. We may lose you. But there's a little thing called bullet journaling that I'll let you introduce us to, which is basically just a way to organize lists.
That's it. It's an analog system where you have an index and list, and you can really make it whatever it needs to be to serve you. But we'll have link on our show notes, but I love bullet journaling. I tried it starting in January, and every month my bullet journal looks a little bit different and I shift it and I'm trying to figure out like what works for me, and I love it. And recently, because of how passionate I get about it and what a fun discovery
passion, folks,
it has been for me recently, I have not only told everyone, including our babysitter, friends, contractor, and my husband.
Ding, ding, ding.
And so what did you do recently?
I went out. I bought three journals. Because
when
life gets a little busy and crazy, as life has been, so there's two busy seasons for 99 Balloons and family and life. 99 Balloons is the organization I get to work with in my job. And they are fall and spring. So yeah. I am on the tail end of an absolute beatdown.
It's fine.
And you were talking about bullet journaling, and it seemed like, hey, maybe that would help me feel less crazy. So I jumped in, I cannonballed into it. Though the beauty of bullet journaling is you kind of can do your own thing. So I'm editing it, tweaking it, doing my own thing. But I bought these three journals, but I landed on one.
Okay.
I landed on one.
And how did you pick the one if you got three?
The one allowed me, I'd gotten the other, so I got one, it didn't have lines. So
oh,
I got
that's
one
a
and
problem
I was like, I got one
journaling.
And I was okay, I'm going to do this bullet journaling. I already had the journal. I open it up, no lines. I get into bullet, yeah. 2 seconds into the description of bullet journaling, I'm like, probably going to need lines.
Gonna need lines.
So I buy journal number two.
Okay.
Which has lines and I get into it and I'm kind of in there. But then I have to go and I actually officiated a wedding not too long ago of good friends of ours.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think through like, what am I going? I got these notes, like pretty much when I officiate a wedding, I've gotten to do now just a few of our friends. I don't love doing it unless you're close to me. So I'm just putting that.
Look, don't start emailing him.
Don't hire me. Don't email me. So just a very, very few close friends. If you're listening to this, we're not good enough friends. So just, we'll get that out of the way. We're not there yet. So don't ask. But a few good friends, I officiate their wedding. And one of these things that you got to take something, you pretty much your job as officiant of a wedding is to say things and point to Jesus, talk about this couple and get the heck out of the way. But one of the things you have to do is you have to take your notes up there. I'm going
to
basically just
something.
Unlike speaking, which I kind of pride myself in not looking at my notes the whole time. Hold on just a second. We're sponsored today by LaCroix sparkling water, flavored lime today. Thank you. I knew I was going to make a noise. Not really, but that's what I'm drinking. Drink of choice.
Look, Matt's life is sponsored by LaCroix. Mm. We go through some LaCroix thanks to a little bit to Hazel Mooney, but mostly Matt Mooney.
Thank you, LaCroix. Making a fabulous drink. Shout out to Perrier and the Arkansas drink that I can't think of right now.
Mountain Valley spring water.
Thank you. But back to officiating wedding. I needed something that I could put my notes in, but still looked somewhat professional. So I had this like big thing, like paper size notebook. It was pretty big that I typically use, but I didn't have a podium. And so I needed to be able to hold it in one hand. And so the other thing was a little too big. So lo and behold, not even looking for a journal, I found a journal that I can put stuff in. So they totally suckered me into it because I had to buy the hole puncher. And that's where they got you. The journal, pretty cheap. The hole puncher that's specific to the journal, it's like $40.
No.
$35. Forgot to tell you. But anyway,
what?
The point is bullet journaling is a way to organize your list. Our theme today on our Matt chat is lists.
Now, if you go and you YouTube bullet journaling, you're going to have so many different types of things that might get a little overwhelming. Don't think you have to do exactly what the YouTube video says. Know that you can make it your own, and we will link to one of my, the gal that first introduced me to bullet journaling is a girl named Kendra something, and her website and her Instagram is The Lazy Genius.
Her branded platform.
And she just has, I just think she's really fun. She's really laid back. And she introduced me via Instagram.
So this is an analog way of journaling that kind of allows you to keep up in an ongoing way with both your schedule and notes that you're taking for a multitude of different things. The point is, I will say, maybe instead of just Googling it or even watching their stuff, which was somewhat helpful. There's a pretty, like, the people that put out the bullet journal or the guy
right.
puts out a video. It's pretty good, but the best stuff and the most helpful and the reason I rushed out to buy not one, not two, but three journals was from The Lazy Genius. So we'll link to that. Back to our list topic. And so the way that we had this, Jenny, I thought we'd just kind of, you know, put our toe in the beginning of the water. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
And we're going to just back and forth. It's going to be
So fun.
A whole lot of fun. Just like a Matt chat always is, Jen. And we're going to do this. But then later, we've prepared a few that where I'm going to ask you for your list and you're going to ask me for my list. So just prepare your heart. But here we go. Okay, Jenny, this is what I'm just going to kind of start toe in the water. Okay. And
I'm
know
not
you're
always good on the spot, but I'm going to just do my best.
And you're, you know, good on the spot and a list. Both of these things give you anxiety.
Yes.
So how are we doing?
We're good.
Do you need to pop anything or smoke anything?
All of the above. Let me just say, a week from now, whatever it is you ask me and I answer quickly, I will be mulling it. I'm like the super slow processor. So I'll be thinking, I'll be like, oh man,
you are
I
the
should
turtle
have answered that
of
because
thinking.
That's what I was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
Let's don't do that. Let's okay. don't do that. Let's don't, no anxiety, no pressure. You have,
just fun.
We reserve full rights for you to change your answers
oh,
on
good.
Future podcasts.
Okay. That's good. It's
to
a lot
tell
of freedom.
Us more about bullet journaling later.
Okay. Good.
We're free. So Jenny, I know you're a foodie. You get to pack one snack bag for your life on an island. You're stranded on an island, and these three snacks, you never run out of these three snacks. What items do you put in your bag? Whatever you put in there, it's infinity. They okay. never run out. You're on an island. I'm assuming you're eating snails otherwise.
Okay.
But what three snacks are in your snack pack?
Can they be refrigerated?
You see, your answer, you're already frustrating the system.
Look, I would say you, cheese. I can't do cheese if it's not refrigerated. When, that's nasty.
I will say, it's when you pull it out of the bag, it's as fresh out as it would be if had you pulled it out of the refrigerator. But no, you don't have a refrigerator. It's a magical bag.
Okay. The brand of this first item is called the Snack Factory, and they make pretzel chips.
You are so serious right now.
I love this.
Okay, good.
When it's food, I like,
yeah,
I got a
plan. You, that's why I started with food.
Okay, so they have pretzel chips, not only a more rare find than just their pretzel chips are dark chocolate coated pretzel chips.
Oh.
So number so one, dark chocolate coated
covered pretzels.
Pretzel chips.
That don't melt. When they come out, they're not melted. But you're on an island, okay, so yeah. Snack fast.
Two, apples. I feel like now, that's probably shocking to you.
I need to know what kind of apples. Because when I get the list from you, the texted list of to go buy groceries, which I
yes.
I sometimes as the man of the household and such a good person will say, Jenny, can I go to the grocery store for you?
And I 99.9% of the time say...
Please.
Yes. Now, so, I say yes for two reasons.
I know
it's
your love language. I know that going to the grocery store is your love language. However, it takes me at least, no lie, 3.5 times as long to find the items on the
list. It does. I say yes when Matt asks me if he can go to the store. I say yes for two reasons. One, everybody always needs something. Two, okay? When Matt
There's a real minimal yeah, attitude.
Basic.
We always need everything.
Okay. Number two, when Matt goes to the grocery store, he is
yeah,
like, because he did, like, I do it like once or twice a week. I have like my system. I just stick with the list.
No.
Matt is like, it's like
on
a rare occurrence. And he's like, oh yeah,
I mean,
let's
it's
try
not,
this.
It's not like a rare animal. Like you're never going to
no,
see it. I mean,
when
it just
you
doesn't
go,
happen weekly.
I get excited because I'm like, what's he going to bring home? Something exciting, some kind of new salsa, or let's have the kids try this cereal.
Listen,
or...
I'm like a teenager on a first date. I am handsy. I'm just
oh,
grabbing stuff.
Stop it.
What?
That's terrible.
Sorry, edit that. But I just grab, if it looks good in the moment and bar the door, if I'm hungry, because
you
I know
it.
They tell you don't go yep, shopping when you're hungry. I totally disagree. Go shopping at the yep, grocery store when you're hungry. You'll have all kinds of stuff. It's fun.
So the type of apple would be Honeycrisp. However, that's in that
not Fiji.
No, Honeycrisp. Wow. That's in that hypothetical island
they
scenario
come out refrigerated?
Because currently, well, yes, they come out refrigerated, but also currently, Honeycrisp apples are over $3 a pound.
Ooh,
that's ridiculous for apples.
Price was not a
so
price was not a thing.
I'm not buying Honeycrisp apples lately.
No, you're not.
I'm doing Pink Ladies.
That'll show them.
And sorry, Honeycrisp, I don't know why you're so dang expensive.
Pink Ladies is just not a good name for an apple.
No, but they're really pretty good.
Okay, but I'm just talking about the branding,
yeah,
not the apple.
Okay,
okay, that's two. Chocolate
okay,
covered pretzels.
And then like cheddar cheese, just like okay, basic. You got to have some source
so
of
without
protein,
a refrigerator, you die. You pretty much are
yeah,
going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Or I have melted chocolate all over okay, me, you know?
I mean, not near as fun, my list. And I can only come up with two, which is typical of me. I'm not a foodie, and I never follow the rules.
You only have two?
Well, you know.
You came
I'm
out,
not,
you asked the list. You
I'm on an island. I should be able to enjoy myself.
Oh,
or
my gosh.
What am I going to do without going fishing or something?
I wish I could guess.
I don't have anything to do. Well, you know, in some ways we're alike, Jenny, and in some ways we're different. But right here at the top of my list written down is white pretzels. Not
oh,
dark colored.
Oh, look at that. I was going to say most ways we're different, but look at this. We're overlapping with our
but you went
candy
chocolate.
Coated.
I went white, you know, dark still, chocolate versus white. So some same, some different.
Yep.
And then I'd get the little, I went fruit too. So that's beautiful. I went the little the little GMO'd oranges. I don't want the seeds in them. I just want, get me all the GMOs that you can get to get those seeds out. What are they called? Little nuggets. Little
cuties. Halos.
There's
two different. Guys.
There's a few different brands out there, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. The little
everybody
bag.
Everybody loves them.
Yeah. No. Some people, I'm sure, don't love them because they're all GMOs. But give me, I'm on an island.
But if they ate them, they would love them.
I'm on an island. I don't want seeds. Ooh, maybe I want the seeds to like plant one.
Oh,
I take it back.
Un-GMO.
I need organic oranges so I can plant them. Okay, Jenny, we're going to dive a little deeper here.
Wait, you really only have two. You can't come up with anything else.
And cheddar cheese.
Oh, come on. I thought you were going to say hummus. You eat hummus like
yeah,
like
but I need things. It's an accoutrement. It's not the thing.
Yeah, true.
So if I bring hummus, then I need some pretzel chips. I need some tortillas. You know, I need some red bell peppers to dip that stuff in.
Yeah, that's true.
So that presents a problem.
Okay.
Now we're going to do a little deep dive. Do you have one for me? Do you have a question for me that you'd like me to answer?
I do. Or is it my turn?
Yeah, we'll let you have a turn.
My question is your top five restaurants in Fayetteville and what you order from each.
Wow. That's a lot. Let's go three.
Let's go three.
Five is going to mean we did list 10. And no, I don't even know 10 restaurants.
I had a blank spot there and I just tossed out five. I don't know.
Top 55 restaurants. Go. I'm going to go top three. Let's go back and forth on this, Jen, because we're going to share some of these. So okay. Hugo's is going to be at the top.
But what do you order?
If you're talking, okay, well, I'm not there yet. If you're talking.
I was just going to say.
My goodness.
Oh, no.
She waits till I talk.
No. I was just going to say, obviously, so I think the wild card there is if you ask anybody, well, most anybody, they're going to have kind of some of the favorite places in Fayetteville. But I think that the ordering is going to really, what you order is going to really spice up this list.
Now, we have a lot of listeners. In fact, most of our listeners not in the Northwest Arkansas area. So we're going to have to explain these a little bit.
Okay.
But I would say number one is Hugo's. Hugo's is a hamburger bar place that's kind of Fayetteville famous, and we love it. It's down under the ground. And at Hugo's, I would order a Gouda guacamole burger, otherwise known as the Ben Rector Special. And Ben, the musician Ben and our friend Ben, introduced me to that one time at Hugo's, and I've never looked back.
Great. Yeah. Am I supposed to answer this question too, or am I supposed to go to the next restaurant?
I think your next restaurant and what you would order, which would be your first.
Little Bread Company, everything bagel, plain cream cheese.
Wow. Well done. Little Bread is a great bakery. We love it. We spend a lot of time there. I haven't been there as much lately. I'll go there tomorrow.
I can't say that.
Now, is this Fat Matt ordering or is this Healthy Matt ordering? Because this is important.
Because it's just what you typically order. I would say
I typically order healthy. That takes the fun out of some of it,
yeah,
though.
That's okay.
Okay. So I'm going to go with Fat Matt. Way more fun. So what would Fat Matt order? Because Fat Matt would head number two, Little Bread, no joke. Little Bread Company for a muffin.
Oh,
just a muffin at Little Bread. It could be in numerous sundry options, but it basically tastes like cake. And Fat Matt drinks that coffee.
Fat Matt loves cake.
Oh, can you give that boy some cake? It's
okay.
Wonderful.
Next restaurant.
Yours.
Well, I said Little Bread. It's your turn.
I said Hugo's and then Little Bread. It's your turn. Oh. I followed your Little Bread with my number two is also Little Bread.
Okay. Woodstone Pizza.
And what would you get there?
So it used to be called the Tatanka, but now it's called something else, like Buffalo
Chicken.
Now listen,
local places, don't be changing your names on
us. They changed it and they added blue cheese. So I just say, I want whatever the Tatanka was, which means it doesn't have blue cheese on it.
And we're totally the annoying people that if we find something that we like,
we're going to that restaurant to get that thing.
And we expect you to get back into the kitchen and make it. I don't care if your menu changed. I know the ingredients are back there. And I know that guy's been here for 10 years and he's made thousands of them.
Totally.
Figure it out.
Yep.
It's the same way at Bordino's, which might be my third. So we'll
is that your third?
That. So Bordino's is an Italian restaurant. It's a little step up from our other two. You're
going to
spend a little bit more money. But Fat Matt would walk in there. And even I'm not, I can't, I don't have enough willpower to overcome this one. If I'm at Bordino's, I'm getting boar sausage fettuccine Alfredo. Now, it's not on the menu, but back to what the Moonies do. Because the Moonies find something they like. And by golly, I know you got boar sausage. I know you got noodles. Put some stuff and go do it. And they will. They'll do it. That's what local restaurants are great. If you walk into Chili's and it's not on the menu, tough luck. But we're not at Chili's. We're at a local Fayetteville place. Give me what I want.
Well, and I will say, I think there's a reason for this. Now, we've been here in Fayetteville for however many, 12 years. Okay. And so now we probably go out to eat more often than when we first moved here and you were in school and I was, you know.
Well, hold on just a second. We definitely go out to eat more often because we were broke.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So when
you can say, you can just say that, Jenny. It doesn't hurt my feelings.
Okay. No, I know.
We can afford to go out to eat to somewhere other than Chick-fil-A once a week where we have discussions on whether we're going to have Cokes tonight or not, which has been an actual phase of our life.
Yes.
And we loved each other and we loved the phase of life. So
it was great.
All you newly married poor folks out there scraping pennies to buy waffle fries.
Buy the waffle fries, get the Coke.
We love you, but we're going to Bordino's. Okay. Fat Matt needs a fettuccine.
But in those days, if we actually went to Bordino's and they had that on the menu, it was like big time. So even though now we probably go out to eat more often, when you walk into there, it's like, I remember what this was like a decade ago, and this is what I had.
Oh, it's Pavlov's dog.
And it was so special that I have to have it again.
I go in, I smell Bordino's, I'm ordering what I ordered that one time. It was wonderful.
Yep.
And it never lets me down. So now I think we're to the last one, your third one.
Okay. I'll say our Sega's at the depot, and I'm going to, I can roll with this conversation.
I know, you're loving the food questions.
Yeah, but I brought it up. It was more of a challenging conversation for you because I can do this. But I would order the Brzezinski any time of day, even though it's a breakfast item. And if it's dessert, then I do the Arcega crepe. It has salted caramel and chocolate drizzled on top with homemade whipped cream.
You say the Brzezinski as though somebody
knows what that is. Oh, the Brzezinski is just like a breakfast that has just a little bit of everything. Like it's just eggs, toast, bacon, fruit. I think they sliced some avocado on there.
All right, guys. As you can see, Jenny can talk about food.
We'd be here all day.
We could keep going on about food, but we're not going to. So, Jenny, I'm going to go a little bit deeper on you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Prepare your heart. I'm not sure you are.
No,
here we
probably
go.
Not. Okay.
What is it? Three. I think in threes. I don't. So when I ask a question, I'm looking for three.
Okay.
What is it that you're worried about right now?
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have a longer pause on thinking through that.
Do you want to turn it back on me? That's a little trick.
Oh, do you have something right now?
Yeah,
okay,
ready.
You go first while I think of mine.
Well, first of all, just to be vulnerable, us, because we've had a few arguments of late. It happens in marriage. It's totally fine. We can talk about it. We're not posing like we're some perfect couple that's got all the answers. We argue sometimes. Marriage is up and marriage is down, and there are different seasons of marriage. But when we argue and when things are down, I tend to worry about it and not want it to be that way.
Yeah. And anyone married knows that that's the situation in life. So, yep.
So my number two, kids, which is just like, and when I say worry about, I mean, worry probably like is worrying a sin and we should be praying and we could go the holy route on that. But when I say worry, like these are the things that you think about that you're hoping, and hopefully I am praying over all these things, but these are the things. So the second one, I mean, my list is so predictable. Like you could ask me in 3 years to be the same list, but second one is kids. You know, I mean, we're just constantly talking about, are they doing too much? Are we, okay, we're doing soccer, and now Anders is doing baseball, and now Hazel is just signed up for softball. So those don't overlap very long, but right now we're doing soccer, softball, baseball, and piano.
Well, and they're overlapping mainly because a lot of soccer games got rained out, so they're doing makeup games, and we just may skip some of those.
Jenny Justifier can turn it on, but what I worry about is just, are they doing too much? Are we pushing them? I know I have such a good picture in my mind of the parent that I don't want to be.
Right.
Sometimes it's harder for me to say, well, what kind of parent do I want to be? And how do I want to parent? And what is okay? And so things like that. And then always school. Like, is this a good fit? Mm-hmm. Do we need to pray through this or think through this or look at other schools? And we love our school, but some of our kids just seem to be better fit and better situated. And some of ours might need some thought there. And then third, you know, and this one's a little bit lighter, but just, and this one won't be on the list for 3 years, please, God, don't let this one be on the list for 3 years. Are the builders doing things that suck because I don't know anything, because I'm not handy? Now, this one, I fall into the loving arms of Lucas. So I don't worry about this one as much, because that's why
Lucas, side note, is the contractor of our building project.
So we're renovating, building a house. We're like getting close. And the point is, my point of worry is, like, I walk through it and I'm like, cool, if the light turns on in the house and the floor's not got a big hole in it, I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking
for.
You have
no idea.
Good job, guys. Where do I write the next check?
You have no idea if the work that they're doing is going to last.
No, yeah. I mean, on the biggest expense of your entire life, you're just forking over this money and you're like, hope you're doing good, you know?
Well, and we've never done a project like this, and we have always lived in old houses. So I'm like, I was actually asking Lucas, and I'm sure he's like, what? I was like, okay, so anytime I've ever done floating shelves, like the ones from Target, where you try to find a stud, they like fall out of the wall. So like those floating shelves in the kitchen, like they're not going to fall out, right? Like I'm going to be able to stack dishes on there. And I think he's like, yeah, like no, you're going to stack dishes on those shelves.
We thought
That's
of
what
that. So we are not the handiest too, Jenny.
No.
So anyway, just doing a big project is kind of like, well, that's why I work with people that I trust. And I do feel good about it. But that's just constantly on my mind. Like, well, I'm going to do my little walkthrough and give them a high fives and be like, great. If you're ripping me off, I'd never know. Okay.
You know, I hate this question and I love this question. And I think it reminds me of when...
Are we going to admit to everybody that you were giving me the like throat slash
yeah,
no?
Yeah, I was like, don't
the,
talk about marriage on the podcast.
Don't be honest and vulnerable.
Know? No, don't do that.
This is to pose and look good and build our platform and go viral.
Well, no, that's me with every top, whether it's marriage or not. That's me with... As soon as you start talking about like the... When we're talking about like
election
pop culture,
and marriage. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, when you this start is, talking about... Like last time when we like talked about the death penalty, I was like,
I think we are hitting on a, I mean, what 50 something episode. I think we're figuring life out here, little Jenny. Yeah.
Analyzing the
you
podcast.
Would rather talk about things that don't matter than things that do.
Yes, on the podcast. Now, if I had coffee with you, I would rather talk about things that matter.
Are you sure? Like if you had coffee with Heather, one of your besties, you'd rather talk about capital punishment and the ramifications of that than Brad Pitt's new haircut.
Yes.
Yeah, because if I catch you know that I'm not the husband that you... Listen, all you atypicals out there. You listen to me right now. I brought it in.
Good job.
You listen. I am not the husband that's fine with my wife acting like people are hot or guys are cute or whatever. I told her very early on, that hurts my feelings. I don't think it's cool. Don't talk like other guys are handsome or hot or what, which I don't think would ever be a problem for you, Jenny, because you've never actually even said those things about me in any context. So you're definitely not going to say them about anybody else. In a conversation, are you taken aback that you wouldn't be like, doesn't Matt look just smoking hot today?
No, I don't. That's not really how
though that is
even
your reality.
Though I think it.
Though that is your reality every day. We agree on that.
Oh, completely.
Oh, man. Got it going on. Anyway, back to you. You'd rather talk about things that don't matter than that do. Yeah. I'm just so glad we figured that out.
But I do like the question. And one time with our community group, when everyone walked in, we were supposed to, Matt and I were supposed to be leading. We did not do the work ahead of time to...
I think that's a theme when we talk about community groups.
Yeah, sure. And so the question that we proposed one night was, what do you carry in here with you? Like what weighs heavy on you as you walk in? And so it's similar question. What do you worry about? What are you currently carrying? And I think it's a good question for us to ask and to talk out loud, because sometimes it's just honest all the time, but when you verbalize it or share it, it can lighten it a little bit. So I think that obviously I echo marriage. There are seasons and rhythms of marriage, and we have been married almost 16 years.
We are very close. Our anniversary. Jenny, you've got a birth anniversary coming up. I don't want to interrupt your marriage talk, though, because I was real proud of you.
Yeah.
So the 27th, we celebrate Jenny's, April 27th, we celebrate Jenny's birthday. Jenny will be really old this year. And then it's our 16th year of marriage that we celebrate April 28th.
So it's party time.
You didn't say anything about me saying you were really old. Good job.
No, I agree. It's every year.
Point taken.
Yep. We're in a season of marriage where we're figuring out different things. Our kids are a little bit older, and activities and just lots of stuff to figure out. And that's good, but it is a new season. So that is definitely, I don't, worry is a word that different people can take different ways, but I do carry that with me. Kids, of course, same answer, but I think in a different way. Okay.
You need to do something different. That's my top tip.
Well, that's the thing. When you said kids, a lot of the things you're talking about, like education and activities, I don't think I think about that as much as bigger picture. What are they going to look back on their childhood? What is their childhood going to look like? And so I'm balancing all the time, you know, being a family that experiences disability. What things does Lena go to? When does she go to Hazel's softball practice? When does she stay home and I get a sitter and that's okay because it's best for her? She's not as anxious. I mean, there's a lot like that where what are the things that I feel a little bit of all the activities they're doing now, we're at a place where we're able to say yes to them. And a while back when overall things in the household were just a little bit more difficult, maybe Lena's behaviors were higher, there was more going on, it was not even an option. Like Hazel didn't even know softball existed. And so now she knows it exists and she says, I want to try it. And we can say yes. That goes to the, you know, current happenings of a lot of activities. But what I think about is when they look back on their childhood, what are they going to think on? What are they going to remember? More kind of big picture. And then I trust the details to you. You worry about those details.
Yeah,
okay?
I got the details. That was two. Anything else that's on your mind?
You know, when I hurt my back after spring break, we talked about that the last few Matt chats actually, or the last two podcasts.
Jean, you've had a back surgery. Sometimes it has flare ups. Continue on. I was just giving a little context. I'm the context guy.
Great. We need context. And so I think it weighs on me. Like, do I need to be doing something different? I look ahead at summer. I really want to be able to enjoy and play with and be active with my kids this summer. And so I think I'm always thinking, is my back going to be okay for that? I really have this desire to lead an active lifestyle. And I'm always kind of thinking about that.
I mean, and just to show how desperate you are, you have talked about eating healthy and maybe that'll help.
Yeah.
It's not as though you don't eat healthy, but you partake in whatever you kind of want to when it comes to the sweets. And you've even talked about putting that on the chopping board because you've had times when you have felt better, your back's felt better, you've kind of tied those things together. Maybe that helps.
Yep.
Okay.
Whoa.
Ooh,
goodness.
Man, big moment there. Do you want to commit to anything on the podcast? Like,
no.
I won't eat this until. No, I didn't think so.
No, I can't do that because then I become a head case and I'm all or nothing. But instead, if I just think of. Anyway, let's not talk about this.
Golly.
I'm not committing to anything. Can I ask you a question now?
Yeah.
Do I have one? Okay. So mine is not necessary. Mine is more, I guess it can be answered in a list form, but instead of like one, two, or three, I give you freedom, Matt Mooney.
Ooh, I love freedom.
To do as many or as little as you want to. My question is, why in your life is creativity important? And do you also think it's important for just people in general?
Well, I think, first of all, when you say creativity, for me, this is a hard thing for people to understand about me. So, mainly because I don't understand it about myself, but I have in a lot of ways, I have the split personality, Matt. Like, I can do that. I can enjoy that. The complete opposite thing. I can do that. I can enjoy it. It kind of goes back to like, I'm good at a lot of things. I'm not great at anything. That's kind of part of that motif. But just in my makeup and in who I am, I have to, like, I cannot. What would kill me is an 8-to-5 desk job of continuous tasks that were very predictable.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is like in work, sometimes I get to have creativity. We're working on, what would an adult model of disability look like? And we're creating that literally out of the book. We're having conversations with people and we're like, okay, that is a huge piece. We want it to be highly relational, low support, you know. Anyway, that's an example of using creativity in my work. But also I love writing. I enjoy creativity in the writing. I think of this podcast. This is, for me, this is creative. It gives us a chance to talk about, think about, to bring other people on and talk about them. So creativity is, first of all, I believe, made in the image of God, as image bearers of God, we all have a need for creativity. Now, I instantly think of some of my friends who would be like, I'm not creative. They're good old Arkansas boys. They're driving their truck. They got their country boots on. And they would never admit that they have a creative thing.
Okay. So what do you say to them?
Well, they're just full of it. Because they're not thinking of things that they enjoy. They're not thinking of it as creativity. But they love to tinker. They love they love to build. They love to put things together. They love to be outside. They love to tie a fly on. And so, you know, creativity sometimes can be put in like three boxes, like writing. That's super creative. Do you paint anything? That's super creative. Have you been in a play? You know, whatever we could kind of label as I mean, creativity very broadly, where I'm getting to use my mind in something I'm not being told to do. And so for me, I don't even remember the original part of the question, but I love talking about creativity.
Well, it was just why it was important. And you answered, why is it important in general?
I think that's
just
the way
we're... And then why is it important to you too?
Yeah, I think in general, it's the way we're made. As image bearers of God, He's a creative God. Look around. Colors and the beauty, and obviously of high importance is creativity to God. And then for me personally, I am not the guy that is... I mean, I meet more creative people than me all the time. And yet we've come to know, like, if life is super busy for me and super tasky and I'm not able to, I do best when I have time. My best task work comes out of time not occupied. Free time for me to think, to not feel like I got to do something, to take a walk. I love taking a walk or to take a drive, to have moments that are a little bit more solitude, a little bit more silent. My best work always comes out of that. And then I do love writing. I mean, for me, the creative fun is in writing. I'm in a stuck place right now where I just don't have a direction right now to write towards. And I'm not somebody who's going to just, I don't have 2 hours to write if I don't have a direction.
Right.
You know, and
something in front of you.
Anybody good at writing and anybody that knows what they're doing would totally call my bluff on that and be like, you got to do it every day. You got to do it all. And I'm like,
that's what they all always say.
You know, and I'm like, that sounds so neat. But I've had times in my life when I'm writing towards a direction and I kind of thrive in that.
Yeah.
And then I have times in my life when I find other creative outlets and I'm hoping that I get back to writing because that's the most fun one for me.
Well, my next question is with this. What are some of the most inspiring creative works to you? Now, I know, like, for example, I know you love documentaries, but like, it doesn't have to, it could be
books.
I feel
like love is not a strong enough word.
It's
I love memoirs. I love documentaries.
And so let's just take it. Okay. Of those two, what are some of the most inspiring memoirs or documentaries to you?
Oh, specifically, what are they? So I would say memoirs, documentaries, and I've added a new one recently.
Ooh, what?
Serial podcasts. Not Serial the podcast, but podcasts that are put out and they tell a story. They're like chapters in a book.
Documentary
style podcast, which you and I have both partaken in a few lately, including S-Town, Pink Babies Blue, and there's another one.
Missing Richard Simmons.
Yeah, where is Richard Simmons or missing? I always say that wrong.
I know. We always say where is, but
so you need the common thread through all those things that I enjoy, and I just listed the podcast. So from a book form, I mean, memoirs that I enjoy. Oh my gosh, this is way too hard for me. But Brendan Manning, Madeline Lingle, that's just a couple. I'll put some more on the show notes and links. I can talk about memoirs.
Those are ones that really inspire you. That's what I mean, because you've read a lot of memoir, and you're... You know, but yep. The ones that stand out are Brenna Manning and Madeline Lingle.
My favorite ones are first of all, if we want to get mad on a soapbox, I think that for some reason, males don't really have the ability in the Christian publishing world very often to be in the memoir space.
Okay.
We've given that over to females because females can't be pastors in a lot of different denominations. And so males get to be pastors and write books on things like discipleship or whatever hot craze in the little Christian world is, and females get to do all of the memoir. But, and that's great. I actually applaud. That sounds like I'm against it. Yeah.
No, that's just a generic.
Right. I think we've just kind of lost male voices in the Christian space that are storytellers. If you look back, Henry Nouwen and guys like that, would have a much harder time of cropping up. So memoirs that inspire me or that feed me or that I enjoy are very honest.
Okay.
So they have to have a little edge of rawness. If it's real cute and packaged up, I'm out. So it needs to be rough, a little bit rough and a little bit raw. And then if they speak of faith or what, how they are learning and growing in Jesus, to me, that's very important. I gain from that. I enjoy that. Even if that's like, I'm like, totally don't understand that. Anne Lamott, which is one of our all-time favorite memoirs.
Traveling Mercies.
Traveling Mercies. Just unbelievable. You know, and she tells the story of the cat and how she came to know Jesus. And it's just crazy bizarre. And I just love it. So that is memoirs. I've talked about podcasts. What was the other one? Documentaries.
Documentaries.
I just love any documentary that follows an interesting subject that you knew nothing about, and you find out there's an entire world around that.
Okay.
So for instance, like I'm looking up on my list right now, or I'm looking up at my stack. So Spellbound is a documentary about these kids who are in spelling bees, and it's like their life and they love it. There's also another one. I can't remember the name of
the Summerlin, the book where he goes to find the book.
Yes.
We'll have to find that name and put it in show notes. But let me just tell you. This is when Matt discovered he had read an article. I don't even know how you originally heard about it, because this was before Twitter and the Facebooks. And this was even before MySpace. Okay. Come on. This is a long time ago. So I have no idea how you got your information.
Probably through You've Got Mail.
or the newspaper. I mean, I don't know. Or magazines. Anyway, he wanted to see this one documentary. And we searched Half Price Books for the DVD.
I do know where I found it. Oh. Geyer did a writer's conference in Colorado Springs that I went to.
Okay,
that's I was the oldest person. I was the youngest person by 20 years at the time, because I was probably 23.
Yep.
Your mom got it for me. Loved it. I most fun thing I've ever done. I hope I can go back sometime. Colorado Springs, Geyer, he showed it. He also introduced me to Anne Lamott. That's why it was a great trip.
Yep. So anyway, we had to search for this documentary, and we went to Half Price Books all over Dallas,
The name of the
Fort
book
Worth.
Is Stones of Summer.
And so the documentary has something to do with that book. And I was so excited, because Matt was so excited, and halfway through I'm like,
she was gone.
I mean,
let's just say
we watched it multiple times.
If I'm going to pull you into a documentary, it's got to be at a little higher level, but I will watch ones that just don't meet your criteria.
Oh man.
So that's creativity. That's things that I love. Okay. So here we go. I thought we'd end up with a specific kind of, a specific list that we talk a lot about what you're rocking, what you're watching, what's the other one? I say it real fast.
Watching, rocking.
What you're watching, what you're rocking.
What you're reading.
What you're reading.
Yeah.
I'm a real professional. But so I wanted us to go just delve into what you're rocking. So music. And I wanted us to talk about favorite. Here's the categories. These are different categories. Your favorite all-time album. And what I mean by that is, I mean from beginning to end.
Like, okay.
It's not, this is one of my favorite artists. It's not, this is one of my favorite songs. This is like, no, you listen to this album, you don't skip a song.
Okay.
This is a beautiful album, which we're kind of losing that in the digital age, but that's something that I enjoyed, listening to an entire album as a kid.
You're going to ask. Okay, I'm ready.
Then, just a shout out to our contemporary Christian childhood of mine. I'm an all-time favorite Christian CCM, if you will.
Now, do you have answers for this?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And then I just had like, what are your what's your current stuff that you're rocking? So what are your Jenny Mooney?
Okay.
List time.
Got it.
Favorite top three all-time albums, like pop it in beginning to end.
Okay, I have three.
Go.
Is that too many?
No.
John Mayer, Continuum. First song to last song.
We share that one, by the way.
Oh my gosh. And I think it came out after we lost Elliot, and it was really profound. Like, a lot of the lyrics were really profound for where we were. And I mean, I just think that will go down in
history. This is on the top of of both of ours, we now have this record. We listen to this one a lot still. We listen,
yeah.
And we love it, and we know every word. If you don't know John Mayer, Continuum, go do yourself a favor.
Number two, James Taylor, Greatest Hits, number one.
Oh, so
I think you say the volume.
Hit me just a song off there, if you would. Go ahead.
Something in the Way She Moves.
No, I mean, like, sing it.
Oh, this Fire and Night. Oh, Fire and Rain. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
Woo!
I've seen sunny. There you go. Please edit
sunny,
that out.
Sunny what?
I think I don't know. Skies.
One thing you need to know about Jenny.
Sweet Baby James.
The reason that I wanted her to sing lyrics is she can never get five words of lyrics right without making a mistake. So second on my list, ever. Jenny, second on my list was also a Greatest Hits album, also from the past, Steve Miller Band's Greatest Hits, which I just recently found and bought.
Love it.
And the kids like it. It's so good.
You sing us a few lines.
I'm not going to do that. Steve Miller Band.
Come on.
Greatest Hits. What were you going to say?
Third one. I have three. Is that okay? My third is Aretha Franklin. It's the very best of, but it's from the 60s. So she has a few like compilation albums of like the best of Aretha Franklin. Very best of from the 60s. It has Natural Woman. It has Say a Little Prayer for You.
So good.
It has, you know, classic ones.
Okay, beginning to anybody that knows me, okay, and I wrote about this in the book, and I saved this for last, so it probably is actually my first. But Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, album entitled It Takes Two.
He's not kidding.
I know every word off of it. I listened to this album more times than anyone should as a child.
And what was really exciting is recently, I think maybe Super Bowl. Target, like,
yeah, they did.
Remade or had these, whoever. Who came on it? Rob Bass?
Hold on just a second.
I don't know.
So disrespectful. That was disrespectful.
They were back on. I was surprised the guy didn't have a cane.
Not whoever.
I mean, it's been a long time.
Not whoever. The grandfather of rap, Rob Bass.
Okay. He was on the Target commercial.
So they redid It Takes Two. Now, I always have a little hard time with favorites, so I have an honorable mention list, Jenny.
Oh, I do too.
And it goes in this. It goes Jacko Pierce, Hootie and the Blowfish, Cracked Rear View, Not Too Cool for Hootie. Loved him. Miss him. I think he's singing country now. That's fine. I hope he finds Jesus one day. And then the Eagles. That's more of a group than a CD, but you get the idea.
My honorable mention is Band of Horses, Cease to Begin.
Yeah,
that album,
that's a good one.
So good.
That's a good one. They're down later on mine. Now, Christian albums, all time, beginning to end. Should I go or can you pull this off?
No, I'm going to have two.
Go ahead.
And mine are a little bit more current.
Okay.
I don't have all time from like
that's
younger
disappointing,
days.
Sorry. That'll do.
First is All Sons and Daughters. When that album came out, I just thought it was so good. It was kind of in the world of like kind of worshipy, low key. Is that what you would say? I don't know. I thought it was really good. And the second is a girl named Brooke Frazier, who also used to sing for Hillsong. I don't know if she does now. Her newer albums are a little bit funky, but and I like them too. But as far as all time favorites, her album called Albertine was so good.
Christian CCM. Now, I grew up in a Christian bubble. Jenny, don't know if you knew that, but welcome.
We've discussed it before.
Welcome to my list here. All time Christian beginning to end albums, complete series, taken from the top to the bottom. First and foremost, Jars of Clay, 1995,
yes.
Self-entitled album. I am not kidding. This is a great album. And if you go back to 1995, this was so far better and so longer lasting. Like, you would go back and be like, that's really good music.
Yeah.
You could do the same thing with Cadman's Call. Like,
yeah.
You could go back and be like, look at that. The Christians have real musicians. The way to go, guys. They can actually play their instrument and do this. They're not just creating something that they've heard on secular and going and kind of regurgitating it and then calling it Christian, which we love to do that as Christians. This was great music, original music, different sound. Jars of Clay, self-entitled CD from 1995. You're welcome. Next is Enter the Worship Circle from 1999. You might notice that all of these come from a
from the 90s.
A certain era. This is a worship one. Enter the Worship Circle. It was a mixture of artists, including Waterdeep was on there, a few other artists. And then just a group. A group made the list for my third, which was just anything Shane and Shane.
Aww.
I mean, everything they put out, I loved and enjoyed. Honorable mention on this list was Nickel and Dime.
You have so many.
Got to throw in some Nickel and Dime. They would lead worship every week for us, so they were super fun. And then my current list, real fast on our way out here, hit the out music, Jenny. Right there. There you have it. But my current list, just people that I love and listen to, top of the list is Avett Brothers, Jason Isbell, and Band of Horses, as you mentioned. What's yours?
I have to introduce the listeners to someone I don't even know how to discover. It's like Pandora or Spotify or something. Someone named John Lucas. And I think the name of the album is The Promised Land or something. It is. It's super chill. So if you're wanting to like rock out, this is not for you. If you're wanting to like
get a pedicure, what do you do?
Meditate. It's real chill.
Do you spend a lot of your day meditating?
Well, I have when I've listened to this.
All right, hit us up. What was it again?
John Lucas.
There you have it. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for following along on our themed Matt Chat today on List. Thank you to Jenny Mooney for joining me and putting up with that and putting up with me. And thank you as well for putting up with us. We hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that you liked it. We've got a 1-800 number for you. If it just wasn't your thing, didn't float your boat, let us know your concerns so we can get to work on that. But we do hope that you liked it. Share it. Have a good laugh. Enjoy it. Come back next week. We will have show notes and links and lots of lists at theatypicallife.com. We love you. Have a great week.